Joining us live on the official BKB podcast, delighted to welcome the king of BKB, still the king of BKB,
always.
Jimmy Sweeney. But you are the king, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll always be the king of this board. It's just a name that I've come up with. Like back, I think I fought Scott Midgley, and it's just stuck since then, really. And now it's a kind of like, it's not like a, you can't win it, or it's not like a fucking title like we win or lose it. It's more the fans now and people like that know BKB if I've associated King with being me. Like, so it's just one of those things, whereas I've kind of started it, but the fans and everyone associated BKB fighters also have took it like as in, I'm the king. Like, so
you love it though. You love it.
I you know what, I've put a lot of time in this board, and it's a great name and great recognition for everything that I've done.
So let's firstly talk about your massive fight up and coming, the Canadian Johnny Tello. Firstly, how's your training camp going? Because I see all the videos of you running and stuff. How's the camp going?
Yeah, I'm 6 weeks out. Sunday, so I've started my boxing training properly Saturday, so I've 6 weeks boxing training for that. But I've started like 4 weeks, 5 weeks ago. I was 89 kilos, which is a lot. It's a lot. So I'm down sitting around 80-81 now, which is great. So my fitness as in running and stuff like that is great. My sprint work, everything is great. So I've put myself in a great position 6 weeks out to get in the best shape possible. And I start my boxing this week, my sparring and stuff like that. So I feel 6 weeks is enough to get in top shape for this fight.
We haven't seen you for a while, have we, in the ring? I mean,
everyone knows my last couple of fights, I've had some bad cuts and stuff like that. So with my last fight, I've decided to take a year. I was going to take a year out, but obviously I'm missing the sport and missing fighting. So it'll be eight months since I last participated. And I can't wait to get back in. And I feel like I've given myself enough time to properly heal up mentally and physically as well. I was just wasn't in a bad place. I just wasn't there in my last fight. You know what I mean? And I'm just feeling a lot better place now. And I'm not worrying about cutting or anything like that. So when you're a fighter and you're worried about being cut, it takes a lot off when you go in there. So I'm going into that ring with no worries at all. And I'm just boxing and just win the fight.
Mentally, in BKB, where a cut can stop a fight or one jab can knock you out, mentally right is so important, isn't it?
Oh, it's massive. It's especially in a game like BKB. If you're not mentally right, you've already lost the fight. You know what I mean? And it's not really a sport where you can go in without being 100% physically and mentally. Because if you do, there's a massive chance you're going to get hurt in that ring.
We've seen, both of us watched Johnny Tello up close in Phuket, didn't we, in Thailand?
Yeah, in Thailand. You know what? He's a good kid. He's a good kid, and he seems very respectful. I've seen him against Barry in Thailand. I'm one of them fighters. I'm a very smart fighter. I've great ring IQ. I know how to beat Johnny, and I know how to beat him to make it a very, very easy night for myself. And that's not saying Johnny's not a great fighter or anything like that. I just feel I know how to win that fight. If you watch the Barry fight, you'll hear me shouting instructions in on what to do. And Barry did it in the last round. I thought the last round was his best round.
He did go the distance, though, didn't he?
He went the distance, yeah. So he went the distance. So it's, you know what? It's a good fight for me to get back. I was looking at that LT Smash. Is that his Laurent T Smash? Is that his name? That would have been a good fight back for me as well, because he beat two of our fighters in Franco and De Castro. Yes. A great fight to get back in it. But unfortunately, they for some reason they didn't want to take the chance in our ring, and they wanted me to fight him in his ring. But due to family holidays and stuff like that, I couldn't have met the June card. So my next option, like, I'm one of them fighters that I need a challenge. I can't come back just to fucking. I'm not going to disrespect my legacy or what I've done for the sport to come back and just fight a guy that I'm going to knock out in about 20 seconds, 30 seconds. You know what I mean? I think I've done too much, so I need a challenge. And this guy is gone 7 rounds with Barry, first person to bring him the distance. I'm going to knock this guy out in 3 or 4 rounds. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
I'm just setting myself a target of that, and you know what I mean? And that puts me back up there with, like, it just be just great to knock him out. And then then future fights, then I'm looking for world titles straight away after that fight. You know, I mean, if I get that win, I'm looking for a few world titles straight away after that fight, and I'll see how I go then after that. Because I have said I'm two fights that I'm out. So after them two fights, I'm gonna sit down and see what's best for me.
And your family, of course, yeah. So let's go back a bit. Let's go back to when it all started in Ireland. Were you always fighting as a kid?
You know what? I wasn't. My brothers were. My brothers were always fighting. I was one of them guys that fucking, am I going to get my brother for you? You know what I mean? I was probably the softest. So obviously I've four brothers, but my youngest brother would have been a bit young then. So I had my three eldest brothers. So and they all could fight. So I was well looked after, but. Yeah, I was one of them. I wasn't really a fighter. Like, I wasn't fighting the whole time. I've done most of my fighting in the ring.
You know, well, that was it. So when did you know fighting was for you then? When did you think, you know, fighting's for me?
As soon as I was born, and it's kind of, you just get through in, like, it's just, I'm a traveler. My dad's fought, my uncle's fought, my grandparents fought, everyone's fought. So it was just, I had no other choice but to fight. You know what I mean? So when I was a kid, I was obviously to fight my brothers, or, to be fair, I was getting battered by my brothers. There's no lie, but I had to fight back. So I've always done that. And I was a massive fan of boxing, and growing up with the likes of Roy Jones and Nazim and stuff like that. And Chris Eubank. So I was always going down that road of fighting and being a boxer.
What was it like as a traveller?
Life as a traveller? You know what? It's not too bad these days. Back when I was a kid, there was nothing but feuds. I remember being 12 years of age and when a massive feud broke out, at funerals, and I was 12, and there was, like, that funeral, was people just shot dead and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, fuck me, I'm a 12-year-old kid. You know what I mean? I'm at these things. And the reason why I was there was to fight. At 12, I would have got killed. But, you know what I mean? That's the life of travellers. Unfortunately, it's just, back then, it was just feuds. You don't really see much of it these days, where, especially with us involved. But, yeah, life was always about fighting and stuff like that, and just, it was just how growing up, because there was no money back then for travelers, really, because everyone being discriminated against and stuff like that. So it was hard growing up, but
everything, so no schooling for you, was there? No proper schooling?
I've no proper school. I remember when I've come back from England when I was about 10, 11, and I went into the school in Ireland, and I've seen everyone working, and I've said to the teacher, I said, why am I not getting the same, like, education and stuff as these? And she said, the teacher turned around and said, there's no point giving you any work when you leave this school, you're finished. So you're not going to be, take your education any further. So there's no point me wasting my time on you.
Wow.
That was a teacher to an 11-year-old. Wow. You know what I mean? Yeah, so straight up said that to me. So I said, you know what? Fuck off then. I've sat down and said, why aren't, like, I remember when I was like 11, she gave me these things too. And I said, I'm not doing them. I said, why am I not giving the same work as everyone else? And that's what she said. She said, there's no point even giving it to you. That was her answer, like, and that's what I've, yeah, so schooling wasn't, it's not that I didn't want to do it. I had no options not to do it because they weren't teaching me anything. Like, when I was 11, they just basically told me there's no point wasting our time on you.
Wow. So then you're growing up. When did you start fighting competitively? And was it always bare knuckle?
No. I've joined my first boxing club in Ireland at 7. Just as a kid, just enjoying it, just boxing. But we've moved to England when I was 10. Started a boxing club there called Trojan. One of the coaches, Steve Newland, he's a club called Hooks now in London, which is one of the best amateur clubs in England. It's got some serious fighters come out there. So I started there when I was 11. And I've won English titles. I've beat the likes of Andy Lee and that when I was a kid. You know what I mean? So I've loved it. But
so why did you not move on to a pro club career?
To be honest, I went to prison for something that really I was involved in, but I didn't do, and because I wouldn't tell the police who did it, or I've got 6 years in jail.
Took the rap.
I didn't take the rap. I just didn't fucking rat. You know what I mean? I didn't say. I've always denied doing what they've accused me of doing, which was in violent crimes. But I've said it wasn't me. I've always said it wasn't me, but I've never turned around and just because. Well, when I was being questioned, the police said to me, "We know who did it, but if like we've got your top and your like things, and if you don't tell us, you're going to get this. But if you tell us, you're going to get this time." And I just told him to fuck off. You know what I mean? So it is what it is.
How tough was that jail?
Well, for anyone watching, this jail is not a place to be. You're away from your family, friends, kids, everything. Me personally, it was all right, you know. It was sound, but people go in with that mentality, jail's good. It's not. You're away from your loved ones. Mm. The worst part of being in jail is your family struggling on the outside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And anyone thinking they're gangsters and jail is not into them, you absolutely is, because it's your family that struggles outside, not you inside. So
was that a big wake up call for you in your life?
Yeah, but it was massive. You know, it was a massive thing. So I've done 3 years, and I remember my little girl. She was only 4 months old when I went in, and so when I come out, I was a complete stranger. So I missed the important. Like that as a baby growing up. But yeah, it's look, I've been on the straight and narrow ever since, and I haven't been back in prison. So it's just one of the places you don't want to be. You don't need to be if you don't like. It's not a good place. So when I've come out of there,
that's what I was going to ask. What was your next move?
Yeah, when I've come out, I started. So my brother-in-law come moved to England. So I was kind of off and back and. I moved to Wellingborough where Jim lives. Mm. So just started eating Jim's Cafe 25. And just started.
By the way, let's make it clear. The food's excellent. It's not
excellent really food.
The food.
Excellent
I've eaten there a few times. Lovely.
The owner is a bit of a, he's not the nicest guy, but you know what I mean? But the food is good. So we've got to know Jim over a period of time. And, you know, but I never knew he was involved in the bare knuckle back then because it was only small. So I was back home in Ireland one time and my cousin added me to a group, B-Bad or whatever it was called at the time. Yeah. I don't know B-Bad. It wasn't the UB-Bad just yet.
This was even before UB-Bad.
Yeah. So it was just turning over to UB-Bad. So B-Bad, just before Sean got involved. But and then my cousin just added me to the group and all that. And then I noticed this. I said, I know that guy. So obviously I went down the profile. It was Jim Minnis. So I messaged him. I said, look, I'm interested in fighting. And typical Jim, send me over your boxing record. I'm thinking, fuck off, you divvy. You know me like. You know what I mean? So he was away. I think he was in America that time. So when he's come back, didn't he form the UB bad? Or, no, sorry. That was when that Popeye was in. So the first... the first row I fought. Then after that, they become UB Bab linking up with Sean Smith. So I took off from then, really, my career in bare knuckle.
So the first UB Bab fight I got you down was Dan Hunter. I think you fought before then.
Yeah, I fought way before then. I did a Kettering show. I fought two
that
guys
on the football
one.
Club, wasn't it?
That was a football club, yeah. That was way before then. That was, I think it was 2014, 15 or something like that, June or something. But I've done the two fights on one day in that show. That was the first time Manning was ever
What's
done
that.
What's
that all about, fighting twice in one day?
I'm not being disrespectful, but I fought Michael Orden. I blasted him out in about 10 seconds, which wasn't really much of a fight. So then there's another guy whose opponent didn't turn up, and
you stepped in.
It wasn't like I was like exhausted or injured in a hard fight or anything like that. So I said, I'll fight. You know what I mean? It's either the guy wasn't going to get paid because obviously he wasn't fighting or whatever. So I said, look, I'll fight, and I end up knocking him out in about 10 seconds as well. Well, obviously, obviously I've come into it with like a lot of boxing experience and stuff like that. So these guys at the start weren't really much of a competition, to be fair. So, and that's no disrespect to them, it's just that I was far more skilled.
So tell us, so you've been right at the very start with Jim and Joe.
I'm
you've
the
been right
longest.
From the start.
I'm the longest active bare knuckle fighter in BKB is be better and anything really, to be fair. I'm the longest. The next person to meet him was Sean George, but he's retired now.
So you've seen the growth. You've seen how
I've
it's grown.
I've seen everything. You know, I've seen everything. And when I've joined it, like I've sat down with Jim, and we've spoken in depth about where we think the sport's going to go and all that. And you know, I mean, I could see it. I could like. If that sport was always going to be like the same as when I started, I wouldn't be there now. I wouldn't be. There's no point. You know, I would have done something else. But as it's progressed and got better, and the crowds are better, and the arenas are better, everything is just better. So that's why I've stayed, because I could see the potential of where it could be, and it hasn't even reached anywhere near where it's going to be yet.
100%. I'm sure, you know, the drive and passion of Jim and Joe. And I sat with him. I joined. You're on the first bill, BKB
the first
one.
One.
And
yeah,
I fought,
yeah.
I, on my first show, and I, you fought Gordon Zoric.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah,
yeah,
and I remember watching you then. And I'll ask you some questions about your style and everything in a moment. But Jim and Joe's drive and passion, they said to me when I first met them where it was going to be, we'd fight abroad and everything. And I thought, yeah, right, good one. But
Yeah,
they've done
yeah,
it.
they've done it, yeah, they've done it, they've done it. As you know, we've had a show in Thailand.
Which, by the way, you were an absolute nose.
I was just like one of them, man. I was just one of them. Just
we
constantly on the phone
had
for
a good
the girlfriend.
Time, though, didn't we? We had a great time.
Missing the girlfriend at home maybe 2 minutes. You okay, babe? You okay?
You were, listen, you must be in love because you were never off the phone to her.
I was just checking in. Just checking
yeah.
in.
Yeah, under orders. Right, let's move to so you've talked about when you started fighting competitively. I think really though, you start when I saw you come into the ring, I couldn't get what your ring entrance was all about. I got the Irish thing, I got all that. But what was the stomping all about?
I was just it more, I don't know, it was more like a psychological thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just to kind of just said to my opponent, you're fucked.
You were
know
getting
what I mean?
Inside his head.
I was getting inside their head. So like it's kind of like with the New Zealand rugby players do that dance at the start kind of thing, you know what I mean? Where it's a bit of entertainment, but it's also a psychological thing where the opposition are watching them. And so it was kind of like that. It was, I just did it. I just thinking, just and it just happened. And then I thought, yeah, can continue this, you know? So yeah, it was just kind of like a psychological thing. The last little thing before battle.
So, you seem to me, and I always watched you. Then I never knew whether you were coached, who was coaching you, or you were self-taught. What did you teach yourself boxing, fighting, or was it just a natural thing?
But I've been taught boxing since I was about seven. I've gone through different coaches and stuff like that. But when I've done bare knuckle, that was just basically everything I've learned in true boxing. But as you know, you can be the greatest boxer in the world, and
Yeah.
your style mightn't be good enough for bare knuckle. So I've had to have adjusted, and I've done nearly everything myself, really, to be honest. Since my bare, I didn't have anyone coaching me as a bare knuckle coach or anything like that. I've had a couple of fights where I've stuck with a coach for a couple of months and then just changed. But it's been mostly myself, really. And it's only recently that I've started. Like, I'm in a Leeds gym now, and I've had people help out, but I've never had that one coach that I've stuck with throughout my bare knuckle career or anything like that. So it's always just been kind of myself, really.
Because your ring craft is, that was in those early days of BKB, your ring craft stood out. Now we've got a lot of fighters with good ring craft, but you then stood out. Technically, you were better than most, or better than all. You see, you know what I'm saying? You had all that sort of.
And everything. I'm a boxer. Like, that's my style is like an aggressive counter puncher, and it just somehow is just. I remember my first fight, and I swayed my arms, and I remember looking at my opponent, and I could tell my opponents thinking, "What the fuck is this guy doing?" And that's when I knew distraction. It's all about distraction. If you can distract them,
That's what
if
I
you
wanted
get
to.
them,
That's the next thing I wanted to ask you
if you
because.
get them thinking, "What's this guy doing?" instead of them thinking, "Right, I'm gonna do this to this guy," you've got them. You
Well,
know what I mean?
that was spot on because, I gave you a new nickname. I called from I think day one. I called you the Cobra because your hand was up,
There's
and I
all,
could see
and
the
then I just,
fighters looking at it. They were looking at it, so you were distracting them.
yeah. But if you. Right, you're like, so if, when you're moving your arms all over the place, it's taking the brain a bit longer to like decide what's like to focus, or what's this guy doing, what, and it's that split second that you have to like really put into effect what you want to do, like, so like with your hands constantly moving, your brain is all over the place thinking what's going on here, what's going on here, so this is what I've done, and I've done it pretty well, you know. I've done it pretty well.
That's exactly what the Cobras do. The Cobras are there and they're just waving and everybody's looking at, it's exactly that. And I found it fascinating. Having been a boxing fanatic all my life, I'd never seen anything like, I'd seen all the stuff outside the ring with Eubank
That's
and
it.
people. I'd never seen anything inside the ring like
And you
that.
see,
And it's different.
And you know what? And it's really took off because I see a lot of fighters try it. You know, man, I say, oh, over the years, I see fighters take little parts of my game and try to make it their own, which is it's a massive compliment to me. But you can never take what I do, like, and make it your own.
For sure. Is it middleweight, lightweight, featherweight? You've been world champions at them all.
Been world champion.
What's your best weight in your opinion?
Now, because I'm 38, I'm 39 this year.
Wow.
I'm 39 this year. I'm still fighting for. Still look good though, to be fair. I'd said to going. I'm going to say. I'm going to say, say. I don't know, because 76 is a great way for me, but I've been struggling recently with it. I can do 77, you know, but I struggle with the 76 to
Then you
get
get
down
into
there.
the ring weaker, don't you?
Getting that extra kilos, I struggle. So I'm in bats and all that. Wait, I fought 79 a couple of times, and I felt very strong at 79. I'm not, but then again, I need to build myself up to 79. You know what I mean? So I'm going to say 79 because that's where I want to stay now. Because, as I said, I'm 39 this year. I find it hard to lose the weight. Just like years and years of dieting and struggling, it's just hard these days. So I'm going to say 79 now is going to be my best weight. Now, that's the way I feel the strongest at.
Is it more difficult the older you get? The training, you've already talked about the weight, but the training, the desire, does it all become harder the older you get?
I'm finding myself getting injured a lot. You know what I mean? Little niggly bits. Years ago, you'd fly through session and you'd be sounding, you'd be ready to go for another one. And if I go through a hard session, you find it. And my elbows are in bits these days. My knees, like, I'm not going to say I struggle, but every camp, there's injuries. So, obviously, with age. It's just years, isn't it? It's like, I've been training since I was 7. Like, I haven't took much time. Even when I'm not boxing, I'm still running, I'm still doing a bit. And it's years and years of putting your body through basically abuse and all that. So, yeah, it's catching up to me now.
If it wasn't a problem, then we'd still be seeing some of the greats still fighting, but they're not. Let's talk about some of your fights, because you lost to Julian Lane. You bounced back and beat him convincingly. You lost to Ricardo Franco. You bounced back to beat him. And you've lost to Barry Jones. Is there going to be another chance with Barry to bounce back, I wonder?
Yeah, I've spoke to Barry in Thailand, and like Barry said to me, we spoke, look, Barry's a gentleman. He's one of the nicest guys, like down to our guy. And he said, I said to him, Barry, I want that fight again, but I want it at 79. I said, I struggled with the 76, and Barry Tronic goes, he said, look, Jimmy, so I've been around this game a long time, like boxing. He goes, I knew you weren't right when I seen you. He said, I took advantage of you. He said, I said, look, Barry, I'm not making any excuses. It is what it is. He goes, you don't have to. He said, I've seen it. I've took advantage of you. I said, look, I'm going to put myself in a position where I'm going to be coming back for that fight at 79. And that's, I'm a fighter. I'm a fighter, and there's no way in this world that I'm happy just to leave that as it is. You know what I mean?
That's what I was thinking, because I know after your Ricardo Franco first fight when you lost, you look back at the fight and you said, even to yourself, you looked old, no movement. You weren't happy with yourself.
Yeah, no. The first Ricardo one, if you look at that fight, my movement in the ring, I was all crouched over. I was living in a fight, but that was just a bad day. There was, God knows what went wrong with probably the weight cut, just everything. I cut easy that time. If you just look at me, there wasn't, like, if you look at the first to the second Ricardo fight, that's two different fighters in there.
100%.
Like absolute two different fighters. So, and then if you look at the first, the first Julian Lane one, I was a bit of an idiot. I was just partying, drinking, taking drugs.
You lost it.
I've lost that. I partied for about 7 weeks on that. I did two runs for that fight. You know what I mean? I wasn't cutting weight because my weight cutter was cocaine.
Can I ask you? Was that because you'd been unbeaten? Everybody was calling you the king. Was it a bit of arrogance and, overconfidence in that?
You know what? It was, I didn't really give a shit. I was just more, I was a full-blown, like alcoholic fucking partying. I didn't care about fighting. Fighting was just there. You know what I mean? So it wasn't really, I knew my skill was good, but I was just more worried about drinking and taking drugs than fighting. You know what I mean? I was just a horrible. That I remember that time was just where I was doing 5-6 days no sleep, just sitting in a room by myself, just taking cocaine and stuff like that. And it was just a horrible time. I mean, I did two runs. I fought him, got beat, just went back on the drinking drugs. It was just a horrible.
You just weren't the best version of yourself, were you?
It was just a horrible time, to be fair. And it's only now, the last few years, that I'm starting to actually become a better me, better version of me. And that's true. As you know, I don't drink, I don't take drugs, I don't do anything now. So,
we're talking as a person.
As a person, yeah, but that makes you a better fighter. You know what I mean? That's it. All it's all part. It's all the same. So if obviously you're a better person, and a lot healthier person, you're going to be a better fighter.
Well, I remember saying in one of the commentaries that, you know, Jimmy Sweeney beats himself. He don't get beat. He beats himself. Yeah, and I think we've seen that.
Yeah, I beat myself. Look, the only person that's really beat me is Barry, to be fair, because I beat myself the other ones. He's the first
Barry fight. Barry's a good fighter, mine.
I'm a very good fighter. The first fight with Barry, like I was winning that fight, but he just caught me a great shot, broke my eye socket or whatever. That and it was just one or two. So he won that fight. You know what I mean? Second fight, then obviously it is one of the got caught. Struggled a bit on weights, you know, because I wanted the second fight to 79, but he wanted the 76. So, second fight, but the first fight with Barry beat me off fair and square. He caught me a great shot, and it doesn't matter if I was winning on the cars or anything. He's caught me a great shot. So Barry's the only person that's actually genuinely beat me. Like,
I mean, you are now, and I was in Thailand with you. You're in a very good place, family wise, and everything else. But there was a time when you were in a bad place. 2021, you were suicidal.
Yeah, So obviously I was in a bad place and all that. So I stopped drinking and taking drugs and I was worse, you know. I'm like I was proper suicidal, like to the point where I was planning on, I was saying goodbye and stuff like that. So obviously Harps still come got me, and I ended up in a psychiatrist's office and all that kind of thing. What? And she just said, like, it's because I've stopped drinking and taking drugs, so I've nothing to mask my mental health, so it's all come to the surface, which was a scary, scary thing, you know. But thank God I had good friends and good people around me, and they helped a lot, and I'll always be thankful to them. And
I can't help but draw comparisons with yourself and Tyson Fury, because he's been in bad places. A lot of talent, but in bad places. Very similar, isn't it? Yeah.
Mine was scary though, because my dad committed suicide, you know, when I was 19. He's committed suicide. So and there's a lot of my family members have committed suicide. And like people go and say they never do it or never do that, but you find yourself in a place where, as you know yourself, you're in a battle with mental health and stuff like that. These people just find themselves in a place where there's no way out, you know. But there's always a way out. As a person looking in, you can look, there's always a way out. But when you're there yourself, it's a difficult place, you know.
Every door's locked.
Yeah. There's no way out. Yeah. So I remember being in that psychiatrist's office, and I was just crying, you know. I'm thinking, what the fuck is going on here? But I feel sorry for anyone that's ever in a place like that. But all I can just say is, the main thing for me was speaking out. You know what I mean? That first initial step of
talking,
admitting that I have a problem and stuff. And that first day where I was in there with that doctor, and it's just all like, it's like a massive weight lifted off my shoulders, you know, and that's just by talking.
Yeah.
And I find as well, you know, with anyone out there, that if you can't talk to family members or friends, reach out to a stranger, like as in a psychiatrist or someone like that, or even Samaritans or something. Sometimes it's easier to talk to a stranger, you know.
Are you, I noticed you were close to your dad, and I think you dedicate every fight to him, don't you?
Yeah, I dedicate my career to him, to be honest. You know, I mean, this is why I do what I do, because my dad. You know, I mean, he's made me the man I am today. Unfortunately, he's left when I was about 19, but I wanted to create a legacy where everyone goes, that's David Sweeney's son. You know what I mean?
See, that's a tough thing, because I was the same with my dad, and you would have loved to have seen your dad to see you world champion.
Yeah. He's looking down. He's looking down. He sees me. He sees me. So,
brilliant. Brilliant, mate. Listen, you do seem very settled now, family-wise.
I should, though. I'm nearly 39. It's about time.
No, but you've got a new missus. Everything's good.
I got a good woman there. She's a great woman, to be fair. I got my kids. Yeah, everything is good, you know. Life is good. Oh, obviously you have your little good days and bad days, but never to the point of where it was before.
Yeah, for
You know,
sure.
I mean, never to that point. And as you know, once you have a good woman and good family life, that's that you're a winner, you're a champion already. You don't even need
100%,
anything else.
100%,
So
100%. Everything is easier when your home
everything is
life's
easier.
settled.
Yeah. But like I know fighters and like on myself as well, where things have been bad at home, so they're bad in the ring. You know what I mean? You can have the best training camp, but if things are shit at home, it's going to affect these things. Once you have a good life and a good person there that supports you, you know what I mean? Everything's easier. Training camps are easier, fights are easier because you're giving it your all and you're giving it your best because there's no bad stuff going on at home where that affects that. You know what I mean?
You're doing it for them, Ed, as well. You're doing it for them.
Yeah, of course. Well, they put up with like obviously fighters get moody, like to be fair, and stuff like that. And it is difficult when you're training a lot and you're away a lot. But yeah, they put up with it. They don't put up with it like it's not a thing. They support it.
Yes,
You know what I mean? They
they
support it.
support.
That's what you need. There's a difference from putting up with it and supporting it.
You're a Hall of Famer here and in the USA. How important is things like that?
Look, to me, I'm just me. I've won all these titles. I'm in the Hall of Fame and stuff like that. But it's great because I inspire a lot of people. You know what I mean? Through my mental health awareness thing and this is what I've done this sport for. You know, I've done it for my dad, but as it got on, I think it's, you know, I mean, I can inspire kids to be like this and people to do what I'm doing and look up to me as a role model. You know what I mean? So what I've done is absolutely great for that. I mean, I'm not too bothered about all the titles I've won. And oh, don't get me wrong, it's great to be world champion and whatever, but I'd rather know that I inspire people more than me looking back on titles.
I talk to a lot of fighters, and so many of them go that we're inspired by, and a lot of them go Roy Jones Jr., etc. But they always add Jimmy Sweeney into the equation. So you've
See,
inspired a lot of BKB fighters as well.
this is you know what, with me, I've obviously I every fighter has an ego and every fighter is the best and all that, but I'm not one of them guys or that you look and go, you know what, he's a great fighter but he's a prick. You know what I mean? So I think that goes a long way of being. I give everyone my time, fighters, fans. I give everyone my time and I'm respectful to,
Commentators.
not really you, to be fair. I never liked you, but I give a lot of my time and I'm being respectful. So that helps. And I think every fighter should do that. I remember one time these guys asked or kids asked for a photo from a fighter or signer and they wouldn't do it. And I fucking and just said, look, so they've come to the show, they've given their time, sign that. You know what I mean? You're not a superstar. At the end of the day, you're just a BKB fighter. I don't care if you're a superstar. You make time and you make effort for fans that's come to see you.
Because one day they won't want your signature.
They won't want it. They won't.
So,
And you know, even though we're fighters and all that, we're still people. We're still normal people. So we're not better than anyone else. You know,
outside the
we're
ring,
just
inside the ring is different. Outside the ring, you're
inside.
not.
Yeah. Outside of that, I still get like it's funny when people recognize me and all that because at the end of the day I'm just me. You know what I mean? I'm not fucking special. I'm just me and I just come across and just treat people how I think like I want to be treated and there's no ego with me when it comes to our fans and stuff like that.
Well, I can vouch for that, being in spending a lot of time with you in Phuket. When did you buy a drink? I'm not sure you bought a drink, but I bought one.
I bought two, but you weren't there. It was for Jim.
So you've done a lot in your career, and you've done an amazing amount for BKB. But what has BKB done for Jimmy Sweeney?
You know what? When I was going through bad times and stuff like that with my drink and drinking and drugs and stuff like that, like BKB was there. So it's always right, Jimmy. You got to stop first. this certain period of time because you got to train or you, you know what I mean? If I didn't have that, I don't even want to think of where I where I'd be because I had no reason to stop what I was doing. You know what I mean? And when I was suicidal that time and when I was bad, when I went to the psychiatrist and crying and all that, that was on a Friday. Monday morning I was in Jim's house, I was in training camp.
Yeah, well, you get on great with Jim and Joe, the governors. But
yeah,
you did
of course.
You did live with Jimmy for with Jim Freeman for a while, didn't you?
Yeah.
And Terry, and you've got a good relationship.
Yeah. They've seen me at my worst, you know. They've seen me at my worst and they've kind of saved me in like if I didn't have them in the points that where I was drinking and taking drugs, it would have been, you know what, it would have been the same as the first Julian Lane fight, you know what I mean? Or I could have been dead, you know, because I didn't
Yeah.
have that, like, obviously, I was in a bad place the whole time. So this is what I'm saying about BKB. That's given me something to look forward to or something to stop what I was doing for, you know what I mean? So it's always been there. It's always been, kept me kind of straight for a bit. Like, it was kind of like a rehab for me, to be fair.
You said after two more fights, you're going to sit and think about your career. What happens next? Because you'll be 40 or
Yeah.
whatever. So
I'm 39.
But by the time you have the two fights, you'll probably be 40, I would think. So are you going to sit down and think, now, can I stay in the sport in some capacity or can I, you know, because you can't just walk away from BKB, can you?
To be fair, I can continue fighting for as long as I like for ages. Like I'm not, even though I'm 38, like I'm not like I've been through a couple of tough fights, but I haven't gone through 30 odd battles and wars. You know what I mean? So I can still participate if needed be. So, but my plan and just beat Johnny Tello. Get that 79 kilo world title because that's what I'm coming for. Everyone knows that. I've said it for a long time. This is what I want, and I'll decide then on what's best for me. But I'm a fighter. I could end up fighting, or might just walk away. But
Jimmy,
I walk
with all
away.
respect, you've just had a year out, and the first thing you said was, "God, I've missed it all."
I did.
Can you give it up that easily? Could you give it up?
These two fights or last fights for retirement has gone on for years, you know. You know, when you're away from, I love fighting.
Yeah.
I love everything about BKB. I love the training, well, not really the training, but I love the coming up the fights, the like the interviews, the like training days, just before the fights. I love everything, you know what I mean? So it's hard to give up that. But I'm not thinking about anything like that. I'm just thinking Johnny Tello, May 21st, then I'm coming for the world title then.
That's fair enough. Johnny Tello, you're absolutely convinced it's your night.
Yeah, I'm more than confident. I know how to beat Johnny Tello and I know how to beat him easy enough. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of me just sticking to that and not getting involved in any brawls or anything. That's not me saying Johnny's going to be an easy fight. He's nowhere in the world. He's gone seven rounds with Barry. You're not an easy fight or an easy fighter to do that. So, but I feel like my boxing IQ and I know how to beat this kid. I know how to beat him.
It's amazing looking at your record. Only two fights have not been for a world title or
yeah,
whatever. You know.
It's strange, God. So I said to Jim, I said, "How many rounds is this?" He goes, "It's a five round fight." I'm thinking, "Wow, this is going to be strange." Not it, like even when I've lost him to, like, it's been boom, world title fight. I've gone through, fuck me, I've had that many world title fights. So it's mad just having a normal fight with nothing on the line. It's strange.
Not many went the distance, though. You
didn't
fight too many seven rounds, did you?
This one won't go the distance either, to be fair.
Well, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Looking forward to seeing you on May. Are you coming down for the pre-fight interviews, probably, I would think?
Yeah, probably. I'd say I've got. It's
Don't
not
get all
legal
big
with the
time
ban.
on me,
I'm
really.
banned. I'm banned from driving. I'm banned from driving until 29th of May.
Right, okay.
That's all.
All
Forfeit
right, so
that.
we'll see. But listen, it's you've brought a lot of pleasure to BKB, and you still put bums on seats, and I'm sure you can continue to do that. But one fight at a time, Johnny Tello. It's May 21st. This is going to be one hell of a bill again at the O2 Arena. We'll see you then anyway, whatever happens, Jimmy. Thanks for talking to the
No problem.
official
No problem.
BKB podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you.